We said hallel this morning, and I couldn't like get my eyes off the phrase that we've said 1,000 times, but have never really thought about it before in this way. Kol goyim sivavuni. All of the nations surround me. Uvashem Hashem ki amilam. And as I was thinking about that this morning, I said to myself, I think we need to do something tonight. We need to do something. We don't know what the timing's going to be. We don't know. We have no idea. But we got to do something. In the Purim story that takes place in Iran, Mordechai comes to Esther, we know, and asks her famously to go to the king, and Esther says, I can't. Why can't I go? So we know what she says, because I haven't been called to the king, and anyone goes to the king without being called, capital punishment, you're killed. So I can't just go without being called, Mordechai. I want to go, but I just can't go right now. And Mordechai comes back to her in extraordinarily strong language. Don't think, Esther, you're going to hide in the palace, separate from the rest of the Jews. If you're quiet now, don't worry, we'll be fine. But you and your father's house will be forgotten. And who knows, maybe you were chosen for this exact moment. It's a pretty strong response. Esther did not say, I'm fine, Mordechai, I'll be good. You guys, you know, fend for your... It's not what she said. She said, this is the wrong time to go. And in fact, the Maharal says that's exactly what she was saying to him. Mordechai came to Esther on Yud Gimel Nisan, 11 months before the decree was supposed to be followed through. So she basically said to him, Mordechai, it's okay, I'll just wait until it's a safer time to go to him. Why risk my life and go today? I can wait a day or two or three or five or seven or whatever it's going to be. We've got plenty of time. Let's wait till it's safe for me to go to the king. And once I go to the king then, it's going to be no difference anyways. So why then was Mordechai not satisfied with that answer? And Rav Huttner offers a beautiful answer. We know we have a concept, we've talked about it before. It's well known in the world of tefillah that a person, if I have a need and someone else has the same need and I daven for the other person, so I'll be answered first. Avraham Avinu daven for Elimelech, should have children, and then so Avram was answered, he had a child. And the question is always like, what, is it hocus pocus? It's magic. It seems kind of insincere. What's it all about? And Rav Huttner explains that no, it's not at all hocus pocus. But rather when a person is experiencing a terrible tzara, something very difficult in their life, and it's so hard and so difficult for them, they feel that they have nowhere else to turn but the Ribbono Shel Olam. They have nowhere else to go but to Hashem. To daven for that terrible thing in their life. It's the most powerful type of tefillah a person can ever have. Like, tefillah, he says, is of a lev nishbav, a broken heart. A person that feels mamish against the wall. I have nowhere to turn but you, God. It's the most powerful tefillah there is. And says Rav Huttner, then a person in that moment says, I'm not going to daven for myself. But I'm going to think about another person who's having the exact same experience. We're pretty close. And I channel all that energy of my fear and my worry and my brokenness and I share it with somebody else. There's no greater chesed I can do for somebody else. There's no greater tefillah than such a tefillah. A tefillah b'lev nishbar for another person. So yes, you get answered because your tefillah is so powerful. But it works for us because you've handed them such an extraordinary gift. And says with Hurtner, that's why Mordechai didn't want Esther to wait until it was safer to go. Tachashverosh. He wanted her to go when her life would be on the line. That she would walk into the king's palace knowing that this might be the end for her. And she'd have to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu feeling up against the wall with a lev nishbar broken. I have nowhere else to turn. And do what? Turn it for Klal Yisrael. That says Mordechai, don't wait. Don't wait till you feel more comfortable. Because then your tefillah won't be as powerful. Wait till you feel the same as the rest of Klal Yisrael. Because then you can channel your tefillah in such a more powerful way. Because you're channeling that feeling, that brokenness, that terror, that worry, that you're turning to Ribono Shel Olam. And it can help the rest of Am Yisrael in such a passionate, such a powerful way. We find ourselves in the most inauspicious time of the year. Someone just said to me yesterday, like, I cannot believe this is happening during the 9 days. It is so bad. It is so bad. What a terrible time for this to happen. And after an almost entire year of watching and experiencing sorrows for Klal Yisrael, not just watching, but experiencing ourselves, we face an unknown that hopefully is a non-event, but has the potential to be a very, very serious event. And as we know, that the greatest power to tap into right now, in this somewhat or very inauspicious time, is the power of Avos Yisrael. The power to look not here, but at somebody else. We drop everything in our own life. We stop building and planting and buying. And we just focus on the pain of other Jews. It's like Avos Yisrael rehabilitation camp. The feeling that if another Jew is in trouble, then I'm in trouble. And I don't know if I'd call it the good news, but the interesting thing to note is that we have gone through Avos Yisrael rehabilitation camp for an entire year. We know what it means right now to feel the pain and the fear and the worry of another Jew right now more than we've ever felt that, most of us in our lives. As other Jews are in trouble, then we are in trouble. We're mamish, all in this together. And if we can feel that worry, that tsar that they feel, coupled, of course, with our bitachon, our knowledge that Ribono Shel Olam can do whatever he wants to do, then our tefillos have the power of Esther HaMalka, walking into the king with their life on the line. But there's at least one more important thing our tefillos can do right now. As you probably know, there's actually a second Bergen County mission to Israel that left yesterday to go to Israel. Kol HaKavod to that group, right? A couple of the RCBC rabbis are there, Rabbi Friedman's there, Rabbi Schreier, Rabbi Feldman. And Rabbi Friedman sent a message actually today. He shared it with me. I think he sent it to his shul. And he said they had just come back from visiting Har Herzl with Rav Daron Peretz. Many of us had a chance to hear Rav Daron Peretz lost his son on October 7th. And he said the greatest feeling of chizuk that Am Yisrael is feeling right now, that he feels, Am Yisrael is feeling on the ground in Israel right now, is the knowledge that they're not alone. Is the knowledge that Am Yisrael throughout the world is gathering together and davening and doing chesed and feeling Avos Yisrael. that we're not going about our daily lives, but we're stopping and we're thinking about them and davening for them. And he said that the one thing that Rav Daron said today and his main message was a message of strength. It took us 2,000 years to come back to this land. And we're not going anywhere. It's not a lack of bitachon. It's not a lack of trust in Hashem to daven. Revolvi points out that Hashem had all, the world was ready and set. And the Torah says that, but the grass had not yet sprouted. And Rashi says, why? There was no human being there yet to daven. So the question, what do you mean? If Hashem wanted the ground to sprout, so just make it sprout. And says Rashi, no. He wanted to wait for us to ask. Even the things Ribbono Shel Olam is ready to do, he waits for us to ask. Now is the time for us to ask. May Hashem hear our sincere tefillos b'lev nishbar as we daven for each other. And may He answer our tefillos by providing tremendous yeshuos, tremendous salvation for all of Am Yisrael. Bekarov mamash.